sun don't ever shine, I would shiver the whole night through. You cause me to weep and you cause me to moan. You cause me to leave my home. In the pines where the sun don't ever shine, I would shiver.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sunset Road here on WTJU Charlottesville. My name's Pete. We just heard from Spencer and Rains, who are playing this evening at Seaville Coffee. And actually, they're in the studio here and they just play that live on the air. So welcome to Charlottesville.
Thank you.
And welcome back for another Prism Coffee House concert.
Thanks. Good to be here.
We brought this weather with us. You like it?
I have to say that the last time you played here was one of my favorite concerts of the whole season, because it was so different from everything else that we put on. So I'm really looking forward to this show tonight, and I hope that everybody who comes will have a great time too. We just heard something I know is In the Pines, but according to the liner notes on your latest artistic effort here, and we'll talk about that in a minute, Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
So tell us about that.
Well, we got that title from Lead Belly, which is where we got the song from. And he grew up in my family's hometown of Marshall, Texas. He wasn't born there, but he moved there when he was quite young and grew up there. And so his music is near and dear to me.
And according to your very informative liner notes here, Marshall, Texas was where he met John Lomax.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Which is very cool.
Yeah, yeah. There are some stories there that took place in Marshall. Sometimes it's hard to tell fact from fiction and myth in some of these old stories, but...
Hey, so why is it named, why did we name it that and not In the Pines?
That's what he called it.
I know, but then who called it In the Pines?
I guess everybody else after that.
Huh. All right.
I guess because In the Pines is a recurring phrase throughout the song.
Sure, so. It sounds more like the title. And actually, interestingly enough, Marshall, Texas is in the piney woods of East Texas, so it's deep pine country there. So it's a fitting tune for the area.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this artistic output that you have here. It's not just a CD. It's a booklet with artwork and interesting liner notes and everything. Tell us about this product you have, which you'll have at the show tonight.
Well, it was either a labor of love or a labor of foolishness. I'm not sure which. But all the books are handmade and
not by us,
but by Stumptown Printers in Portland, Oregon. And all the covers are letterpress printed, and then Trisha and I collaborated on the artwork, and we did illustrations for each of the songs and tunes that we recorded for the book, and that complement the liner notes. So, and there's a CD in the little pocket of the book too.
Howard's art, just because sometimes I feel like it's worth mentioning. A lot of folks know him as a portrait painter of folks in the old time community, as well as other things that he does. And so, what we did is these pieces of art. Howard did the watercolor portion of it, and then he handed the pieces to me, which I sat down with a small pen and did all of the pen and ink work around the pieces of art. And then what we did is we sold those pieces to fund the book. So you'll actually see that the collection belongs to, or a piece belongs to someone, and that's how we put the book together. We actually wanted to create something that was similar to the days when you bought records and you went home to your nice comfy room, and you maybe dimmed the lights down and got your favorite beverage and then put it on the record player and then devoured whatever the record had on it for liner notes. We wanted something similar to that, not just the music.
It's much different than just downloading something off the internet.
Yes.
Well, that was the point too, was to make a physical artistic object that was interesting to people more so than just 99-cent MP3.
Right.
And quite honestly, the book looks pretty nice on a coffee table, and once you've downloaded the music, you can pull out the CD itself and use it as a nice coaster, which looks very beautiful, I might add.
We do that on our coffee table.
Yes, we have
that. Well, I have to say that I've long been an admirer of your artwork, Howard, ever since I saw the first CD that you put out. And this thing here is like your other CDs, except the how many tracks are on it? 17 tracks. So mm-hmm. there are 17 different pieces of artwork mm-hmm. in
yes.
this. So it's
yeah.
it's like 17 CD covers.
I might add that we don't have very many of those left, and we will not reprint them.
Ooh.
So this is it. So if you were wanting a copy, you should come out tonight, and you know. Somebody's already claiming one.
All right. Well, in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Howard Raines and Trisha Spencer live in the studio here. They're playing tonight for the Prism Coffee House and WTJU at Seaville Coffee. The show starts at 7 o'clock. And how about another tune?
Yeah.
You want to do a tune from your grandpa?
Yeah.
Let's check our A here. We're going to do a tune that Trisha learned from her grandpa, Vernon Spencer. He was an old-time fiddler in Big Springs, Kansas. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about that once we play the tune. The tune's called Spotted Pony, and if you're an old-time player, it's probably different than the tune Spotted Pony that you may be familiar with.
Or maybe we'll talk about that tonight.
We'll talk about that, yeah. Thank you.
Spotted Pony there from Spencer and Raines, and as you said, very different from the Spotted Pony that might be known by old-time musicians around here.
Yes.
And I have to
and
say,
all
you,
the country.
You have a little bit of a nerve coming into old-time country and playing old-time music that has nothing to do with, or well, it doesn't sound like the old-time music that we play around here, but.
Well,
more power to you.
There's old-time music all over the country, you know?
I'm just fiddling everywhere. I'm just kidding. I was reading again from these liner notes. Bruce Molsky says, Trisha Spencer's own deep family fiddling roots and Howard Raines' passion for saving old Texas music from extinction come together in this beautiful collection of tunes, songs, and paintings. And a lot of time when people think of Texas music, they're not thinking of this kind of music at all.
Right.
There's all kinds of different Texas music, from contest fiddling to Texas swing to mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. But what got you guys into this kind of Texas music?
Well, I guess I just wanted to... I started learning from a friend of mine named Tim Wooten, who played the fiddle tunes of his grandfather, Duck Wooten. And they were more archaic tunes than the contest fiddling in Texas or the swing fiddling, and this just got me more interested in what might have existed before those popular styles. And as I dug deeper and deeper, it turns out there was just a whole world of this older style that was the foundations of the later fiddling, such as contest and swing and things like that. And, you know, across the state, it was just widespread that there was this older style, which was more akin to its roots in Appalachia.
And have you visited and learned from older players?
Yes, I have, yeah. I learned a lot of tunes from a fiddler out in Nacogdoches, Texas, named Stafford Harris, and he taught me some great stuff, and there's some other players in across the state that I've picked up tunes from, as well as a few family tunes as well, but not as many as come from Trisha's family.
Well, and I think I might just add that, you know, Howard digging up tunes in Texas and kind of putting life back into these old tunes that have been forgotten was actually, in meeting him, was a realization that I needed to do that in my own area. And I mean, you talk about old time, you know, played in this area. Well, old time's been played everywhere for a really long time. And my grandpa's family left LaRue County, Kentucky in the 1850s and then settled in Big Springs, Kansas. And my grandpa was born and died on the same piece of land. Whereas when I was growing up, this music was all I knew. So, you know, you can't tell me that it's not old time just because it came from Kansas. I know that you weren't, but I'm just, and so meeting Howard was this realization that here was all this deep, rich music, especially in Kansas, nobody paid any attention to. Nobody came out to Kansas to document those old fiddlers out there, which now we feel is our job to do, to make sure that that music lives on.
Yeah.
And I want to mention that something that we didn't bring today, that's a release that we've been involved in for some time. We didn't bring it because we didn't get them in time for this tour.
Yeah.
But the Field Recorders Collective has released recordings of Trisha's grandpa, Vernon Spencer,
within
the past 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Wow.
And,
so you can find that music now online.
Recordings from the 60s and 70s made on the Spencer family farm there in Big Springs.
Very cool.
And, you know, I think both of Howard and I have an appreciation for all kinds of music. To me, it's all American fiddling. And, you know, thank goodness there are all these little facets of it. And I like that.
Very cool. You're listening to Spencer and Raines here on Sunset Road. Mm-hmm. They're playing tonight at Seaville Coffee, courtesy of the Prism Coffee House and WTJU. You can find out more about that concert by going to the Prism website, prismcoffeehouse.org. And how about another tune from you guys?
All right, Trish is going to grab another instrument here. Trish and I both grew up playing a lot of bluegrass music, really. And Trish's family would play old-time fiddle tunes and sing bluegrass songs, but they didn't really distinguish between the two very much. And so this is one that we've been... That's an A. Is that okay? So this is one that we've both been singing for a long time called Darlin' Corey. But we heard a great banjo player from Kentucky, George Gibson, sing it recently and kind of
re-inspired us to do it differently again. Mm-hmm. So
ready?
Yep.
Wake up, darling Corey, what makes you sleep so sound? The highway robbers are coming, gonna tear your still house down. Well, the first time I seen darling Corey, she's sitting on the banks of the sea. A 44 strapped to her bosom and a banjo on her knee. Wake up, my darling, go bring me my gun. I ain't no man for trouble, but I'll die before I run. Last night as I lay on my pillow, last night as I lay on my bed, last night as I lay on my pillow, I dreamed little Corey was dead. Dig a hole in the meadow, dig a hole in the cold, cold ground. Dig a hole in the meadow, gonna lay darling Corey.
Corey there from Trisha Spencer and Howard Raines. Wonderful stuff there. That's a really interesting and unusual version of that song there. I've never heard it done quite like that before.
We try to keep it interesting and unusual.
Well, that's how it's going to be tonight, folks. Can we talk about your fiddles a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We love talking about our fiddles.
I hear that they have quite a history.
They do. You want to go first?
Yeah. Well, I think, as I said before, my grandpa was a fiddler. When I was growing up, our land was just back behind their land, so I could actually walk back and forth to my grandparents' house. And music was what they did for fun. They were farmers, and so when the work was done out in the fields, playing music was kind of the pastime. And so I didn't know any better. And I decided that I wanted to be a fiddler about at the age of 3. And I learned from my grandma who got me going, and then eventually my grandpa spent the rest of his life teaching me fiddle tunes. And for fun, we would go to a fiddling contest throughout the weekend where I would be able to spend time with some great fiddlers of the Midwest. And in 1993, he passed away. And when he left us, he left 80 fiddles in his his absence. And a lot of those fiddles were not really good fiddles at all. But he had two of his favorite, one that he kept at the gas station where he worked, and then the other was his contest fiddle. And so since I was the only grandchild out of the family that took on the fiddle, actually I was the only left family member that took on the fiddle, my grandma gave me his. And so in 1993, I was given his prize fiddle, which is the one I play all the time now. And actually the second fiddle that was really good from that, Howard's son, Isaiah, plays it now. So that's where my fiddle comes from.
And my fiddle, it was actually made in Dallas, Texas in 1913 for my great-grandfather.
Hold it up to the microphone there.
So everyone can everybody see it? Everybody see it there? It's pretty, isn't it? Well, yeah, it was made in 1913 for my great-grandfather, and then my grandfather played it, and my dad played it, and now I play it. And it was when it was made for my great-grandfather, it was actually made as a left-handed fiddle, and then my grandfather converted it to a right-handed fiddle.
And how would he do that?
You move the bass bar over to the other side. Bass bar is a little bar that runs on the low end string here, and I'm not sure what it does, but it does something.
Changes the way the top vibrates.
I guess so.
I love when you talk luthier business.
Right? Yeah, because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Interesting enough, and we'll try to make it as short as possible, that even though they moved the bass bar, what they did not realize is that the pitch was still pitched for a left-handed fiddler. And so all of these years, Howard and I have been playing on it and actually hating how it feels for your left hand. And it wasn't until here recently that we realized that it was carved for a left-handed fiddler, which meant if you played it right-handed, when you played the G and D string, it felt like you were playing in mud. Mm. So just recently, our luthier friend, J.J. Hansen, Beautiful Music Violin Shop in Lawrence, Kansas, he actually took it apart and put a shim under there and made it so that the pitch would be now for a right-handed fiddler. Which
it certainly doesn't sound like mud now.
I don't know that it ever sounded like
mud. It just
mud,
felt,
but it
like,
felt
mud.
Like mud.
It felt like you were driving in mud. But yeah, that... And that conversion was just done
recently,
before this tour. So
I had major surgery before we left home, which I don't think is a smart thing to do.
We don't advise it.
No. And then the other fiddle we have is the really old guy that was also passed down in Howard's family.
Yep.
And it's a 1700s
1765 fiddle. German fiddle. And it's a real delicate old fiddle. And we keep it tuned low and use it for singing stuff in the key of F.
Which... we could do that after this one if we had time. So,
all right. Well, again, you're listening to Howard Raines and Tricia Spencer live here on WTJU. They're going to be at Seaville Coffee tonight at 7 o'clock. And you can find out more about that by going to the Prism Coffee House website, prismcoffeehouse.org, or just come down to Seaville Coffee and see these guys playing live. I guarantee you'll have a wonderful time. All right, what you got?
All right.
Well, we're going to do... We recently recorded with our full band, the Skeleton Keys. We have a six-piece band. Two members live in California, two live in Georgia, and we're in Kansas. And we recorded Volume 3, the Old Texas Fiddle Volume 3. And we have a bunch more interesting and unusual tunes coming out. But this is one that I got from my friend Tim Wooten, who got... from his grandfather, Duck Wooten, and it's a version of Billy in the Low Ground. Sorry about that.
Thanks for having us out again. We
love
it.
It's a real pleasure.
All right.
Ready? Thank you.
Billy in the Low Ground there. Maybe a tune that people will actually recognize from Howard Raines and Tricia Spencer. And again, they're playing tonight at Seaville Coffee, 7 o'clock. Come on down. And that show is being co-presented by the Prism Coffee House and WTJU. And we've got time for about one more. What you got?
Okay, well, let's see here.
Yeah, it's funny. I thought we were out of time, so I was just like kind of being silly there for a moment.
Well, I'm squeezing one more out of you guys.
All right. That's interesting that we have time to do this one because Alan Lomax's...
John Lomax.
Oh, John Lomax's daughter, right, is the source of this one.
Yeah, she was... We just were in Washington, D.C. for... few days before on this tour and spent a lot of time in the Library of Congress listening to old recordings, and this is one that comes from the Library of Congress, and as Tricia said, John Lomax recorded this back in 1936, and I think it comes from his daughter who was in Comanche, Texas. Her name is Shirley Mansell, and it's kind of a common tune called All the Pretty Horses, but it's an unusual version of it.
I'm going to go back in the other studio, so thank you guys for coming in, and
thank
we'll
you.
See you later on.
All right, thank
Sounds
you.
Good.
Hush you by and don't you